Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Erev and Daf Yud Zayin. We are two lines from the top, and we're discussing inferior walls, low quality partitions, not built like your typical wall, which has both elements of Shesi ve'Erev, vertical and horizontal elements, which keep it strong and durable. But a mechitza grua only contains one of those elements. It's either shesi, vertical, have the poles going this way without a real horizontal crossover to support it, to sustain it properly, or erif, for instance, the ropes which are going across this way. So these are poor quality mechitzas. They appear like temporary, fleeting mechitzas. They don't have the residential flavor to them. And therefore, the Chacham were concerned, these things look like an open, unfenced area. They don't look like they're really encircling a sayacha. They more closely resemble a field, a forest. And therefore, we said like this, if the area enclosed is small in size, only up until base sa'asayim, an area that you can plant two sa'ah of seeds, so this is an area which is 100 amma by 50 amma, for which we have a precedent from the Chatzar HaMishkan, the courtyard around the Mishkan, which is also really a non-residential area. Nevertheless, it's considered Shesayachid. So we have a precedent from there that this type of shear does give the impression that it's intended for personal use, and it's considered even Midarbanan like a Rishus HaYachid to allow carrying within it. So although these are Mechitzas, Gerua is being employed encircling this area, but if it's up until the point of Beis HaSayim, so it's small in nature, it's that small of an area which gives the impression like it's an area intended for personal use and has a dinner which is hayachid. So this is for one person, an individual who encircles himself with these type of mechitzes. Two people have the same halacha. Three people, that's a shayara. These people are traveling, a caravan, and over there the chachamim allow them to encircle even a much greater area. Kedei tzorchan, whatever they need, they can encircle themselves with these types of mechitzes and would be considered a proper Rishus HaYachid. But that's only provided they need the area. But if it's too big an area, they don't really need the entire area. There's actually a space there which is vacant. How large of a vacancy? Base Sa'asayim, so there's an area of 100 by 50 Amma in this containment for which they have no use, then the whole containment is bottled. Because we have two negative elements. Number one, the entire mechitza here is flimsy and of temporary nature. And number two, there's a large space here which is not being used. So, based on that, we determine that this enclosure here does not have a residential status to it, and therefore they cannot carry within it. Says the Gemara two lines from the top, Amar of Gidol Marav. He's going to present for us a paradoxical statement. Shloisha b'chamish asur. If we have three people who encircle themselves with these type of mechitzes in an area of five sa'ah, then they cannot use this area. Asurin. B'sheva, if they encircled a large area, sheva, containing seven sa'ah, mutarin, they can use the area. Sounds like a paradox. If it's smaller, it's asur. If it's a greater area, it's mutar. How can that be? Amr lei. So they responded to Rav Gidol. Amr Rav Hochi, did Rav really say this? Sounds strange. Amr Lewis, he says, certainly, I raisa nevi yuksivi. He made a shvu in the name of the Torah, nevi miksuvim, to Amr Rav Hochi. Indeed, this is a correct, accurate quote from Rav. Rav did say this. Amr Rav Ashi, my kashi, what's the big deal? What's the difficulty? Dil mehochi kamar, perhaps this is what he meant to say. He's speaking about, in both halachas, that they encircled an area which contains seven sa'ah. So we have three people in this encircled area. It depends on their needs. Let's say they only needed for their personal use an area of six. They decided to give themselves some extra breathing space. They encircled seven. So we only have one sa'ah of area which is beyond their needs. That's okay. They can use the entire area. However, what if they only need an area of five sa'ah? And what do? They encircled seven, which gives them two extra sa'ah worth of space, which is unneeded. That's too large a gap. Afilu b'chamesh asurin. Then the entire mechitza is nullified. They can't even use the original five. That's all he meant to say. They encircled an area of seven. What Rav meant to say, that when they use shloisha b'chamesh asurin, if they only need five out of the seven, which leaves two unavailable space, two empty space, then they can't even use the original five. But if they need six of the seven, leaving them only one empty saw, then that's okay. We consider this encirclement as residential containment, residential mechitzos, has a din of rishus hayacht. Says the Gemara, ve'el ha diktani. If so, how do we explain the brisa? The brisa says, v'ovad shelo yehi beisosayim panui, that these people, this group, can encircle themselves with these types of inferior mechitzos, provided there is no base or sign which is vacant. What does that mean? My love, panim adam. Doesn't that not mean that there are two sa'ah above, beyond the standard allotment, the per-person allotment? So he said if one person encircles himself, he has a space of two sa'ah. So let's assume that are three people. Theoretically, they should be entitled to three times that amount, for a total of six saw. So when the Brisa says there can't be two saw vacant, it means eight saw, meaning two beyond the six that they should be entitled to. But perhaps if it's only seven that they encircled, that's okay. So it's not compatible with what we just said. Because we just learned that even three people that built a mechitza around seven, and they don't need two of that seven, that's not a mechitza. So it's incompatible with the words of the Braisa. Says, well, no, that's not what the Braisa meant. Lo yiponimi kelim. What the Braisa meant to say was that if you have an area of two sa'ah, which is ponimi kelim, vacant from utensils, meaning it's not used, they don't need it for their needs. They only need five out of the seven. So although they're three people, those mechitzas are worthless because there's an area of two sa'ah that's unused. And this is very much compatible with what Rav said. So the chiddush here is that even though one person would get two saw, and now we have three people, so logic would say, give them six saw as a standard allotment. And then, on top of that, if there are two vacant saw, it becomes batal. But if it's only seven in total, which is one above the theoretical allotment, it should be okay. Rav says no. Even when it's three people, we look at their needs. If there is an area of two saw that they don't need, that's too large an area. And the mechitza becomes batal. Continues the Gemara. It's what we learned. So we just said that if it's an area encircling a caravan, a group of people, three people, then they're allowed to encircle even a large great area, provided that they need the area for their use. Says the Gemara, Shloisha, what if they began Shabbos with three people? Umeis echad b'em, and one passed away during Shabbos. Or in the reverse. Let's say they began the Shabbos with two people, shnayim, which are not entitled to a large area. They're only allowed to have two sa'ah in total. They're not a caravan. V'netois felem, during Shabbos, somebody came along, he arrived, joined the group, now they have three. The question is, what determines the halacha? Is it the commencement of Shabbos? We take a look at what happened at the entry point of Shabbos. If it's three, then has a din of a group, and this area is kosher. If it's only two, they don't have a right to enclose an area so great, and you can't carry there. Or do we look at the present moment? How many people are living there now? If it's three, they have a din of a group. If it's two, they don't. So the question is, what determines? Is it Shabbos, or is it the state of residency? Between Rav Huna and Rav Yitzchak. Chad Omar, Shabbos Geremes. It is Shabbos that determines matters. So whatever the situation was at the onset of Shabbos, that's what sets the rules for the entire Shabbos. So for instance, if they began with three people, even if one disappeared, they're still okay. V'chad Omar, Yurin Geremes. It's the residency that sets matters straight, that establishes the halach. Let's take a look in Rashi, which is 27 lines from the top of the Amud. Beginning with the words Shabbos Geremes, explains Rashi. Shloisha, so they began Shabbos with three people. Umeis echad men, one died. Hoyel v'geremes, Shabbos lahatir. Since Shabbos made this thing mutter. Mutar and Ashnaim, I feel Rabbi Yehuda. Even Rabbi Yehuda holds that we need three people, this group, to allow encircling a large area. In this case, we have a group, because that was the situation at the beginning of Shabbos. In the reverse, if it began with two people, Shnaim, V'kifu Yosim Beisasayim, and they encircled an area greater than Tusa, which they're not really entitled to. So this was the position in the beginning of Shabbos, Aval Bishen Toysvalim Diyurin, even though eventually some fellows came along and completed the group, made it into a Shayara, Asur and Rabbi Yehuda contributed its Asur, Hoyluk Shenichus HaShabbos, since at the entry point of Shabbos, Garmel Issa, the Shabbos was Garmel, that should be Asur, because at that point they didn't have a group yet. So according to the Shita Shabbos, the entry point of Shabbos is Goyrem the Halach. The other Shita says, it's the residence, the Yurin Goyrem. So if we have a case where Gimel Umeis Echad Mem, they began with three and one died, the Batzer the Yurin, that minimized the, lessened the share, the total number of inhabitants, Asurin their Asa, because they only have two people. So their Asa Mekifo Yoyz Meis Asayim, if they encircle a great, an area greater than Tusa, for which two people are not entitled to. What if it was in the reverse? Shnayim. At the beginning of Shabbos, there was two v'netoys falim, and then more people showed up and completed the group. Mutar. They're mutar, the ikud yurim, because at the present moment, we have the proper number of residents. So two ways to look at it. Is Shabbos establishing matters, or do we look at the present moment? How many residents are present? Says the Gemara. So we have machlokes with Rav Huna, Rav Yitzchak, and we're unsure who says what. Says, well, let's explore. It's time. You can conclude the Rav Huna, who the Amar Shabbos Geremes. He's the one that actually holds that Shabbos determines factors here. The Amar Rabba, Boim Rav Huna, I asked Rav Huna, Boim Rav Yehuda, I asked Rav Yehuda. What's going to be in a case where Irev Derech HaPesach? We have two chatzeres, two courtyards alongside each other with a doorway in between. And that allowed them, then able to make an Erev Chatzeres between both yards, so allowed carrying one to the other. They merged their usage, their ownership through this doorway. Finistah Pesach. And sometime during Shabbos, the doorway got blocked up. Now there's really no proper access point between one chatz and the other. Or Derech HaChaloin, they had a window in between both chatzeres, which enabled the joining forces making the Erev Chatzeres. Finistah HaChaloin and the Chaloin get closed up. Ma, what is the halacha here? V'amar li, or v'amar li, they told me, Shabbos hoyel v'utra hutra, since at the first point of Shabbos there was a heter, that heter is chal, that heter becomes established and retains itself throughout the Shabbos. This time, certainly, we can conclude from here that it is Rav Huna who subscribes to this concept that Shabbos establishes the status that retains itself throughout the entire Shabbos, even though there's a change through the middle of Shabbos. Just as in this case, where the Chatzeres still will maintain their Erev Chatzeres, they can go ahead and transfer from one Chatzah to the other. For instance, they'll throw over this, throw something over this wall in between them, even though there's no real proper access point between two Chatzeres, which will not allow them to make Erev Chatzeres in the future if there's no proper doorway, etc. But since the Erev has already been established for the Shabbos, it continues functioning. So likewise, in our case, when we have, for instance, three people at the onset of Shabbos in this large encirclement, this large area which was encircled by the inferior mechitzes, so this halacha, this shayara halacha, continues throughout Shabbos, even though they lost one of their members throughout Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Lema, shall we say, Rav Huna, Rav Yitzchak, this machlek is whether Shabbos determines or whether the current situation determines. Should we say it is, it corresponds to another machlekes tanoi, beplukta, to Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yudaka Miflugi? Shall we say that one thing depends on the other? This nan, as we learned in the Mishnah, chatzah shenifritza mishtei ruchaysea. If a chatzah was breached on both sides, it lost its machitza, v'chein bayi shenifritz mishtei ruchaysea. Likewise, the same thing happened to a house. So it's breached, for instance, to Rishus HaRabim, it lost its machitza status, it becomes an exposed area. Or a mavi which lost its lechi of kaira. So this happened during Shabbos. At the entry point of Shabbos, everything was fine. But now on Shabbos, this drastic change took place. What happens now? Can they carry through this area or not? Says Rabbi Yehuda, yes, mutar and loisa Shabbos, they are mutar all along the Shabbos because the heter that was present at the beginning of Shabbos continues throughout this entire Shabbos. It is chal, and it retains itself. It doesn't lose its status. Vasur lost a love it. However, in the future, they can no longer carry in this area due to the fact that it lost its mechitza or lost its lechi okur. Tiv Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosi, I mean, no, you can't say that. If you maintain that they are mutar for that Shabbos, so why not continue that Shabbos, that heter throughout mutar and lasalove? They should retain the heter even in the future. If you certainly agree with me that they're asur in the future, asur and lasal Shabbos, they certainly should be asur for that Shabbos as well. So it would appear that the machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda, who says that once the heter arrives, it doesn't leave throughout that Shabbos. And Rabbi Yosi, who says, well, we don't reckon with that factor. Let's take a look at the present situation. We don't have mechitzas. You can't carry. So it appears that these two shitas correspond to the two opinions mentioned earlier between Rav Huna and Rav Yitzchak. It says, well, lemer Rav Huna, damar Rav Yehuda. Perhaps Rav Huna, who says Shabbos is the determining factor, is compatible with Yehuda, who seems to say likewise. Rabbi Yitzchak, who says we must evaluate the current situation, follows Rabbi Yosi, Damak Rabbi Yosi, who says that despite the fact that the onset of Shabbos, this place is mutter, things will change throughout Shabbos. Says the Gemara, not necessarily, perhaps the things are really unrelated. Amalach Rav Huna, Vuna will say, Anod Amri, I feel Rabbi Yosi. My Shita can concur even with Rabbi Yosi's Shita. Why? Atkan loyka amar Rabbi Yosi hasam. It's only over there Rabbi Yosi maintains that it's aser. You know why? Ella the lesson of mechitzas. Those mechitzas are no longer present. It was a pirtza. The lechi disappeared. Therefore, he says the place is not enclosed properly. How could he carry there? This is in contrast to our case, where the caravan encircled themselves and one member disappeared. Hacha isnul mechitzas. Mechitzas is still here. It's fully enclosed. Therefore, even he would agree that it retains its heter that arrived at the beginning of Shabbos. Consider the Gemara, the same thing in the reverse regarding the other shita. For Rabbi Yitzchak Amar, Anod Amar, I feel Rabbi Yehuda. My shita, my opinion will concur even according to Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Adkan loikom Rabbi Yehuda hasam. It's only over there where Rabbi Yehuda maintains that once the heter was applied at the onset of Shabbos, it retains that status. That's only because the residents are still intact. El the Islam de Yurin, the residents are still there. So since they received a heter at the beginning of Shabbos, they don't lose it. However, in our case, what happened? We lost a member of the group. Lesson de Yurin, the de Yurin not present. So there was that drastic change. The inhabitants are not here any longer. Therefore, how could you say that the heter that was applied to the initial three will continue throughout Shabbos? In fact, the fact that one of them is missing. The configuration of the residence, of the residency, changes. Therefore, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree, this case is different, and there is no heter to continue carrying throughout this large area which was intended for three, and three are no longer here. So in summary, we have a case where things changed during Shabbos. They encircled this large area, and three people were there, which were entitled to encircle this large area with those mechitzas gruis, and one of them passed away on Shabbos. Or in the reverse, they began with two people, and one arrived to complete the number to three. Well, Machlokes, Rav Huna says, Shabbos determines. So when they began with three, even though they lost a member, they stay mutter. When they began with two, even though there was an added member, they are asur. Rav Yitzchak says, the number of residents, the current situation, is what determines matters. So although they began with three, since right now there are only two, they're asur. So it began with two, but now there's an additional member that arrived. It's okay. It's considered to be a shayara who are entitled to enclose even a large, great area with these mechitzas gruis. The Gemara brought another machlokes tanoim with a chatzar shenifratz, a bayis shenifratz, or a mavi that lost its lechi yekara. Rabbi Yehuda says, Shabbos, hayel v'hutra hutra. Since at the entry point of Shabbos, it was a heter here, even though the mechitzas disappeared, you can continue carrying throughout Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda says, take a look at those mechitzas. Then a hair no longer. You can't carry in this exposed area. The Gemara tells us that indeed this machlokes is really unrelated with the former machlokes. Continues the Gemara. Getting back to our Mishnah, where the Chachamim concluded the Mishnah by saying, Echad Mishnei Dvarim. Even if a mechitza only contains one of those two elements, either vertical or horizontal, it's okay. And even an individual who encircles himself with this temporary, fleeting, unsteady mechitza, he can carry throughout it despite its large size area. Now the Tanakhama also said the same thing. He said that even a yachid can go ahead and do the same thing. Says the Gemara, the Chacham merely repeating Tanakhama. Hainu Tanakhama. Says the Gemara, there's something here. There's some difference. Ikir b'nai, the difference between them will be yachid. If it's an individual who's using this mechitza, will be yishuv. He's present in an inhabited area where he can find, he has access to proper walls, proper partitions. So that would be the point of difference between Tanakhama, who says that only if he's out in the road where he can't really properly access bona fide mechitzas, we allow him to encircle himself with these flimsy mechitzas. But if he's in a yishuv, he's in a city, inhabited area, where he has access to proper building material, we don't allow him. Whereas the Rabbanon give a blank check. They say a yachid, even if he's in a yishuv, it's okay because one of these two things are enough, either shesi ve'erev, they consider it to be a proper mechitza, despite its large size, despite the fact that it's greater than two sa'ah. Continues the Mishnah. Abor dvarim patru b'machna. There are four things that Chachamim were lenient with. They applied a heter, a p'tur, when it comes to Jewish soldiers that engaged in battle. Number one, mevim etzim kalmakam. They're entitled to bring firewood from wherever they find it. We know that the Chacham are allowed to make something hefker, hefker based in hefker. They can render something ownerless in a time of need. Chacham allowed them to gather firewood for their needs. Upturim rechitzi sadaim. They're potter from searching for water, for washing your hands before their meal. Umidmai, if they have produce bought from Amaretz, an unlearned fellow, where there's a suffix, whether or not he attended to the obligations of Tumas Ramaises properly, generally we're not meant to eat this. But the Chacham allowed these fellows to go ahead and eat it due to the necessity involved here. Umila Arif, their potter firm establishing an Erev Chatzeres, they're allowed to carry from one tent to the other without making Erev Chatzeres. Tana Rabban, Machna Yoitzes L'Mechemes Arishus. This camp, this group of soldiers, which are going out to conduct a Melchemes Rishus, an arbitrary war. Rashi explains this as being a war other than the war of Yeshua to capture Eretz Yisrael. So even though they're going to a Melchemes Rishus, which is not a Melchemes Mitzvah, they have these Heterim, Mutarim Begezel Eitzim Yivation, they're allowed to go ahead and gather even dry wood, which appears to be designated for firewood, so they can go and take it without any concern of the Isra of Gezel. Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema Omer, Af choinim kol mokim, they're allowed to camp anywhere they need, b'mokim shenarogim sham nikvarim, and they are buried at the very exact place where they are killed. Even though it's a place which is privately owned, they're entitled to have the kvura right then and there. Continues the Gemara, mutarim begezel etzim yivation. Let's analyze what this means. They're allowed to go take wood? Is this a special heter for soldiers? This is already a heter which was established beforehand by Yeshua when they inherited Eretz Yisrael. Haita kanda de Yeshua hava. The Amar Mari learned, Asorat Tnoim, Hisna Yeshua. Yeshua set forth 10 conditions when they were Yerush Eretz Yisrael. Sheyu Marin Becharshim, that one should be allowed to take his livestock and graze, even the forests that don't belong to him. They can go ahead and eat the grass. And that was the condition that Yeshua employed when he distributed Eretz Yisrael. We assume that the fellow that owns this farm is not going to pick that grass anyway. So the takana was that a person should not be mocked, but he shouldn't object to his friend grazing in his forest. Umalaktim eitzim, Mr. the same. Likewise, a person go ahead and be malak and gather wood from another person's field. So you see, this is a pre-dated takana, something which is unrelated to soldiers at battle. Says what is the difference? Hasam behizmi vehigi. Yeshua only allowed taking his and vehigi, these low-lying bushes, these thorns, and nestles. Hacha b'shar etzim. When it comes to the soldiers, he can even take ordinary wood, which perhaps is designated for firewood. Inami, another b'shat, hasam b'mechabarn. Yeshua only allowed taking these thorns, these bushes, which are still attached to the ground. Here we're speaking about taking something which is already detached, which was designated, reserved for firewood. They can go ahead and take it regardless. Inami, another teretz, hasam balachan. There we are speaking about picking these thorns from the ground, these attached thorns, which are lachan, they're fresh, and not really suitable for firewood. Hachabibeshim, over here, we allow them to pick the firewood even if it is very dry. So there are three exceptions, three allowances when it comes to soldiers above and beyond the ordinary standard takon of Yeshua. Number one, they can take ordinary firewood. Number two, even if it's been detached already, cut off from the ground, and dry, which case it appears like it's designated for a person's use, they're allowed to go and take it to supply themselves for their needs. They camp anywhere. Where the person dies, there we bury them. Pshita, isn't that self-evident? Mace mitzvah. He has a din like an unattended mace. A mace mitzvah acquires the place where he's lying on. So if you see a mace mitzvah, you bury him right down there, even if it's sitting in somebody's field. So these soldiers should be classified like a mace mitzvah. Says the Gemara, Tzricha must be speaking afagav de isle koivrin. This person who died has koivrin. Rashi says ishle yoshim. He has people to inherit him, meaning he has koivrin to take care of him, and that does not have a din of a meis mitzvah. The sanya ezu meis mitzvah. Who has a din of a meis mitzvah which is koine mekoimai? Kol she'en lo koivrin. If somebody died without relatives, koire he calls out v'acherim oin noisa. And others respond to him, meaning theoretically, if the mace would call out for attention, to be somebody to heed his call. So he has his relatives who come attend to him. Is a mace mitzvah? That's not called a mace mitzvah. You cannot bury him. Where do you find him? But only a mace mitzvah who is in a desperate situation, an unattended mace without anybody to take care of him. There the chachamim say that you bury him where he is. He's koinim akoyim. What is the reason for that? So Chazanish explains that the concern is that perhaps if we burden him to take him to a proper burial area, he might neglect it. He might go ahead and just leave it as is and not even bother burying him. Chacham allowed a special allowance to put a meis mitzvah where you find and bury him right then and there, even if it's sitting in somebody's property. So this is regarding a meis mitzvah. However, when it comes to these soldiers, which are not categorized as meis mitzvah, they have relatives, so not considered to be an unattended meis. So they don't conform to the halacha meis mitzvah. Rather, there's a special takana that they can be buried right then and there in the battlefield due to the exceptional need and necessity. Says the Gemara, meis mitzvah kana mekoyma. Is that so? That a meis mitzvah acquires his place, meaning you bury him right where you find him, about tiny will open the price. I might say mace muto bestratia. If one chances upon a mace who's lying in a street, a public street, he goes ahead and declares him. Mefaneo li min astratia or lismal astratia. He vacates him either to the right side of the street or buries him on the left side of the stratia. Now once he's doing that, he has to take a look what's going on the sides. Let's say we have fields on either side. Which one is more suitable, appropriate for burial? So the Bryce will tell us he's meant to go ahead and cause the least amount of damage. Sade bur v'sade ner. On one side we have a sade bur, a fallow field. On the other side we have a sade ner, a cultivated field, a plowed field. So which one, where should he bury him? Mefaneu l'sade bur. He should choose the fallow field, bury him there. Sade ner v'sade zera. Let's say he has a choice between a cultivated field and a planted field. Mefaneu, we should vacate him l'sade ner to merely the cultivated field to minimize damage. Hayushtei neiros. What if they're both the same situation? They're both cultivated. Shtei mezruis, both planted. Shtei buris, both fallow. Then it's up to him. Mefaneu l'chuyuch sheyirtze. He brings them to whichever side he chooses. So this is akasha. We just learned that a meis mitzvah is koinim mekoymai. He's meant to be buried exactly where you find him. Not meant to transport him elsewhere. So why does the Braisa say that he takes him over to the side, this field, that field? How does that work? Amar Bibi, hacha b'meis mutal al ha-meitzer askinan. We're speaking about a unique situation where the mace is lying square right across that road. Beib al ha-meitzer, meaning between both boundaries of that road. right across the road, it presents a halachic hazard here, a tumah hazard. So you have to go and remove it, lest people come and become tameh, kaihanim, etc. So you have to remove him from the thoroughfare. Now, once you're going to remove him, in any case, may as well make the right decision and put him in the more appropriate location. Since permission was given to vacate him, to remove him from this area, that's why he goes ahead and he puts him wherever he chooses, meaning the more appropriate location. But ordinarily a mace mitzvah, meaning somebody who's an unattended mace and is lying in a place where he doesn't present any special hazard, you meant to leave him right there in his location. Continues the Gemara back to the troops at war. They are potter from Rechitzas Yodayim. Says the Gemara, Ptur Rechitzas Yodayim or Abaye. This is only said. Lo'yishona lo'mayim rishayim. We're speaking about washing your hands prior to your meal. So they're potter from going ahead and burning themselves to search for water. Unlike your standard person who's obligated to go ahead and look for water. The Gemara tells us up to a mil in certain situations. They don't have that obligation to go search for water. But they are obligated to wash their hands after the meal. Why? Why did the Chacham say that, generally speaking, washing one's hands after mealtime is an obligation? That also explains why the soldiers are obligated. Because this is not just a halachic thing. This is actually not a halachic thing. It's just a health precaution. There's a specific type of salt, sdoim salt, shemesames anayim. It can cause blindness. And as Rashi says, one is meant to eat salt together with his meal. In fact, they would actually eat salt directly, dipping their fingers, and eat it in that manner. So Chacham were concerned about the sakana involved. So in order to avoid danger, one is meant to wash himself, mayim achroinim, after his meal. And therefore, we don't exempt these soldiers. It's not a halachic matter that we come to exempt them from. It's a matter of health and danger. Therefore, they are obligated to do so. Omar Abayi umeshtakcha, this melach stoimis can be found in a very small amount. Kekurta bekura, like one grain in a huge amount of salt, a kur salt. Kur of salt, which is a very large amount. 30 sa, only a teeny bit of it is going to be melach stoimis. And apparently, even so, Chacham were concerned that a person should not put himself in danger due to coming into contact with the melach stoimis. Amalei Rav Acha bei Rav Ashi. So this works for eating. What if a person is not actually eating? Kail milchamai. Person measured salt. Is he chayiv amayim achroinim? Amalei told him, certainly, holo miboy, certainly, there's no need to say, of course. He gets himself all involved in the salt. Of course, there's a sakana that he might encounter this melach stoimis element here, which can put him in danger. Tosis points out that achshav le'nagu, now we don't actually do the imayim achroinim for two reasons. Number one, it's not common to have this melach stoimis amongst us. And number two, we are not accustomed to directly eat salt with our fingers. Therefore, Tosis says the minhag is not to do imayim achroinim. Actually, in halacha, both shittas are brought down whether or not nowadays we do mayim achroinim. Continues the Gemara, umidmai, so they are potter from dmai, meaning they're allowed to eat the produce brought from an unlearned fellow on Amoritz, which entails a suffix of whether or not the tumors and mites were properly addressed. Says the Gemara, the snan, as we learned in the Mishnah, machilin saniv dmai. When we feed poor people dmai, ves achsanya dmai, also we can feed the achsanya, which Rashi describes as these soldiers, Jewish soldiers, which are supported by the members of the community. So due to the necessity here, the Chachamim allow feeding these people Dmai. This way you can give them a large amount of food. You don't first need to remove the Truma and the Meiser. You can give them the entire quantity. Feed the Yaniyim, feed the Achsanim. Continues the Gemara. Actually, Rav Huna says it's a Machlekes. Amar Rav Huna Tana, we learned, Beis Shama, Eirin, Ein Machilim. Es Aniyim Dmai, Es Achsanim Dmai. So indeed, our Mishnah follows Beisil Shita, that when we feed these soldiers at war, the Achsanya, they can feed them Dmai. It is permitted for them. The Chum made a special exemption in this situation. Rashi explains, since really, roiv of the Amaretz take off Maaser, suman atoritz mutter, it's merely a chumra midrabanan, and they suspended the chumra when it comes to these situations of necessity. Continues the Gemara, what else were these soldiers at war exempt from? Umila arif, they don't need to make an arif. Amrit v'rabiyanai, lo yishano, this is only said regarding el arif chatziris. They don't need to establish an arif chatziris to go ahead and merge their usage between the members of this camp, to allow carrying throughout the camp between one tent and the other. That's not needed. Avale ruvei tchumen chayavan. But certainly when it comes to ruvei tchumen, so ruvei tchumen means a person only has a shear of 2,000 amma which he can walk. So one can't walk past a boundary of 2,000 amma out of the city, unless he sets down the Erev Tchumen, places a piece of bread there, etc., which makes that his Shabbos residence. That becomes his Makom Shvisa, which allows him to walk 2,000 amas past that point. So this is not something which we exempt these soldiers from. Why? Because the Ruvi Chatzeris is Drabbanon. So they suspended their requirement. But the Ruvi Tchumen is Minat Torah. The Tanu Yabchia, Loikin, Al Ruvi Tchumen Va Torah. If one is over in Ruvi Tchumen, he gets Malchus. This is a Din Torah, a Lav Minat Torah. Where is the Lav? The Pasuk says, Al Yeitzei Yishvim Koyme B'yayim HaShabbos. One may not go out of his Mokim, of his boundary on Shabbos. So even the soldiers are obligated to set down the Erev Tchumen. Maskev for Rabbi Yonasan. He's simply questioning. Rav Chia said that there's Malchus involved. How can you say that? The Pasuk doesn't say, Lo Yeitzei Yishvim Koyme. Rather, it says, Al Yeitzei Yishvim Koyme. V'chiloiken alav shebe'al. Is there Malchus applied when one transgresses a lav, which only employs the term al? So he holds that al is not really a lav. It's not really so sharp like loy. Al is more like a request, a very strong suggestion we find in the Torah al no. So we see that al is not so strict and direct like loy. So how can you say that there's Malchus involved? Masker of Achavayakiv. So he responded as follows. You say that Al does not entail Malchus. Elamiatav, that's the case. Achsiv, Al Tivnu, Elo Oyvis Yolidoinim. Don't turn to these types of sorcerers, Oyvis Yidoinim. And the Pasuk only employs the word Al. Hachinami, Deloiloki. Are you going to say in this case as well there's no Malchus? Certainly there is. So therefore, what's the kasha here regarding Erev Tchumen? The Pasuk says, Al Yitzishim Kaimai. You can't do that. It's a lav. And it results in Malchus. Explains the Gemara. Rabbi Yonasan Hoche Kashali. Rabbi Yonasan's Kasha was as follows. What was difficult to him was that this love, Al Yeitzei Shemim Koyimim B'Mashabbos, actually has two applications. The basic application, don't leave your boundary, Al Yeitzei Shemim Koyimim. But we also learn from this, the Isser of the Melacha of Haitzah, of carrying an object, from Rosh Hashayachit, Rosh Hashirabim, and we learn that from the pasuk Al Yoytzi Ishmim Koymai, to mean Al Yoytzi Ishmim Koymai. Verse Shnan, take something out. He shouldn't carry an object. He shouldn't go out with an object from his makim on Shabbos. So now, since this pasuk is applied to a malacha, and what happens if a person is over a malacha? He gets Mrs. Bezdin. So there's a misa involved. Now the Torah doesn't punish, doesn't give misa unless it first forewarns the person, gives them a hashara. So apparently this pasuk, which is applied to the malach of Eitzah, is actually the azhara of that malach. Don't do this, because it can result in Mrs. Bezdin. Now the same azhara, which is going to be applied to Mrs. Bezdin, cannot feasibly be applied to another einish. You can't say that this will also result in malchus. The same pasuk can't be warning two things. Let's see inside. Hachi kashle, this was his kasha. Lav shenitin lazharis Mrs. Bezdin. This lav al yoytzei shem koymai is a lav which is applied to warn for the malacha that should not be done, which can result in a Mrs. Bezdin. V'chol lav shenitin lazharis Mrs. Bezdin. Any lav which is applied for that purpose, ain't like him lav. There's no malchus as a result of being over this lav. So how can you say that if one is over on the issue of Tchumen, which is derived from this very pasuk, which is already being applied for the Melach of Eitzah to warn somebody, don't come to Mrs. Bezdin. How can you say that same lav will also be applied to Malchus? Amar Vashi, No, this pasuk is actually not a pasuk warning against doing malacha vitsa. Miksev al yoitzi? Does the pasuk then say al yoitzi? A person should not carry out al yoitzi ksev. The pasuk is merely saying a person should not go out himself. He shouldn't walk out of the tchum. It's strictly applying to leaving the person's tchum. Therefore, certainly, if a person is over on that iser, he will get malchus. So in summary, we learned about the machne, the soldiers which are engaged in the melchemes harishus, a non-mitzvah war. We have many exceptions, many exemptions. They can bring eitzim and kol makim to gather firewood, the more it tells us. It can be even real wood, detached from the ground, dry. They can be choynim and kol makim, they could establish their camp anywhere. They are nikbar in the place where they are killed, even though they're not a meis mitzvah. They are patur from tilsa daim, referring to mayim rishonim prior to the meal. They don't need to go and search for water like a standard person. And they are patur from an erev chatziris. Hadron aloch mavi, says the Mishnah. Oisin pasin leberois. One can establish, can plant pasin, boards, posts, libirois, around these wells which are in Shusaram. Let's take a look at Rashi inside, which is about in the middle of the Amud, beginning with the words oisin, right at the beginning of the Mishnah. Oisin pasin libirois. Explain Rashi. These wells are in Shusaram. Shabashusaram. Ubirois asked for Shusayachatin. These wells are actually Shusayachat. Why? Shamukim asorah. They're 10 tefachim deep. So this prevents a person from using them on Shams. One cannot draw water from this well and bring the water outside the well, which is just a rabbin. So the Chacham were concerned, the Gemara will tell us later, regarding the Oile Regalim. The Yidden that are going to be Oile Regal to Yerushalayim, they're going to bring along their livestock. The Chacham were concerned that they should have enough water supply to feed their animals. Therefore, the Chachamim applied a special leniency here. Explains Rashi. V'oisim pasen elu. We go and we erect these posts. L'hachem lahem hek. To prepare an enclosure around this bear, sheyu apasim alo, these boards, they should go ahead and they make oisin esvius habor shayachet. They affect erush shayachet here. The area enclosed within these posts which are surrounding the bear is erush shayachet. V'yamale v'yoytzi v'yaniach sham. Now you can go ahead and fill up his pail, take out the water, place it inside this enclosure. V'tikon es behem t'v'yashkena, his behem will come in and he will feed the behem. So this was a heter for the sake of the Oile Regalim. It should have enough water to feed their livestock. So one can go ahead and encircle the be'er with very incomplete, very partial mechitzis, as the Gemara will describe for us, the Mishnah will describe for us. So although it's a very, very flimsy mechitza here, nevertheless, it's considered shayachet, and one can now draw water from this be'er, which is shayachet, and place it outside the well, inside this enclosure, and feed his animal. Says Mishnah again, Oisin Pasan LeBerois, how are they constructed? Arba Diyumden, four double posts. So Diyumden is a joint word. Diyu means two, Midin means Amudim. So there are double posts, twin posts. He's going to erect four of them on all four corners surrounding this bear. So you have four L-shaped posts surrounding this bear, which create that impression of an enclosed area. Tosis points out that Minat Torah is considered a Rishis HaYachid because it is Shem Dal Mechitzis. It has the initiation, it has the shape, the configuration of four Mechitzis. So although it's mostly exposed, it's Paretz Merubah Lo'imid, but since it gives that impression of four Mechitzis because these double posts, these twin posts, are erected on all four corners, so Minat Torah is considered a Rishis HaYachid. And although generally we don't rely on this type of Mechitzis, which is mostly unbuilt and exposed, when it comes to the case of the Birois, which were necessary for the Oile Regalim, the Chachamim allowed it to be used. So Arba Diyumdin, these are the four corner posts, Nirin Kishmoina, they appear like eight, because each one is a double post. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Now, what is the distance allowed between the posts? So according to Rabbi Yehuda, we allow the space to be up to 13 Amis and a third. So that's the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Ramei Omer, he requires a space to be only 10 amas or less, like the ordinary halach of a mechitza. Up until 10 is a Pesach, beyond then is a Pirtza. Therefore, Ramei says, sometimes you have to add some posts. You have the four corners, but sometimes they're too far apart. It's beyond 10 amis between one post to the other. That's a person. So you must add some flat posts in between to lessen that gap. Therefore, says Rav Meir, Shmoina Nirakish Nemasa. Sometimes you have to have actually 8, meaning the 4 corners plus another 4 flat posts, which are going to intersect between those 2 double posts to lessen the gap to make it 10 amas less. So it's Shmoina, a total of 8, Nirakish Nemasa, which appear like 12, because the 4 corners look like 8. And then you have the 4 flat posts, Arba Diyumdin, 4 double ones on the corners, Arba Pshutin, 4 flat ones along the middles. Continues the mission. Goyvan Asar Tfachim, the height of these posts, are 10 Tfachim, to comprise a Mechitza. Veroich Van Shisha, they are 6 Tfachim. Why? Tos explains, when it has an Amma width, it creates that Pesach, and therefore it is usable. For Oyim Kalshu, how thin? Any size, be very thin. Now, what gap is allowed between these posts? So you have that Machlekes, and Rameya says a maximum of 10 Amis. Rizah says 13 and a third. Ubeinim, between these posts, we are allowed a space. Kimeloi shtei revokes, the size, the space, which allows 2 revokes. Now revoke is a group of cows which are tied together, used for plowing, let's say. So the point here is to allow the feeding of the animals. So the Pesach is meant to allow through 2 groups, shtei revokes, 2 groups of these animals that are tied together, shall sholish sholish bakar. Each group contains 3 cows. So they would plow with these cows, and he would bring them to feed them. Now, just in case there's another group coming out, so he needs to leave a space for a two-way traffic. So one group going in, one group going out. So 2 groups of 3 cows each, total an area of 10 amos, which is a Pesach. Divrei Meir. Rabbi Doimer, shel arba. Each one of these groups consists of 4 cows. So perhaps there's some tough terrain. You need to plow it using 4 cows tied together. So on the basis of that, Rebbe determines that the entranceway here, the gap between the 2 boards, can be a distance of 13 and a third to accommodate 2 groups of 4 cows each. We need two-way traffic, one group going in, one group going out. Continues the mission, Kshuris. These groups are actually tied, meaning the 4 cows are tied together, which takes up less space than if they would be untied. Kshurois v'loi mitarois, tied and not untied. Achas nechneses v'achas yoytzeis. We visualize as though one is going in and one group is coming out. So sometimes that's what happens. You encounter traffic coming the other direction. So that's the basis of our establishing the shear in between these 2 boards. Now, how close to the be'er could you construct these posts? Says the Mishnah, Muta Lachav Leber, you can make it as close as you want. Ublavat, provided, Shetei Para, you have enough room to accommodate the cow, Roisha Veruba Bifnim Veshoisa. So there's enough room that he has his head and most of his body inside to drink. Let's take a look at Rashi, 4 lines from the bottom. Ublavat Shetei, there needs to be enough space, Misfas HaBe'er Ad Be'en HaPasim, from the ridge of the Be'er until the post, Kedei Roisha Veruba Shal Para, to accommodate the head and most of the para. But if it's less than that, you can't do it. Why? There's a concern. Dilma mam shechacha parosai. He might be drawn after his animal. He's going to take his pail of water and go find his animal and bring it outside the mechitza, which is Mishasarab. Therefore, we require there to be enough space there to accommodate his animal so that he's not tempted to carry outside the contained area. Now, how far away from the air can he construct these posts? Continues the mission. The last word on the Amud, Mutar, Laharche Koshu. You can place them at a very large, great distance from the bear. You can enclose a very, very large area, Bavashi Avevapasan, provided he adds posts. Let's take a look at Rashi, the top line on the Amud, Laharche Koshu. Koma Shabaliba Lassasekab Gadol. As much as he desires, he can go ahead and enlarge this containment. Provided he adds, he increases the total number of boards, meaning he has to make sure the space in between the boards doesn't surpass the shear of Pesach. Therefore, he keeps on adding boards to lessen the gaps. Explains Rashi, the kol kama de marchev mibor, the more he places them at a distance of the bor, magdil Rav Achshav and Jumad L'Jumad, he increases the space between the posts. V'tzorach l'harbis v'pasins, he needs to keep on increasing boards. Ad shelo yehei ben pashal l'pashut, uben pashal l'Jumad, so that there's no space, there isn't, between the pashut, meaning the straight flat board, to the other flat board, uben pashal l'Jumad, between the board until the twin board at the corner, meaning the gaps in between the boards do not involve a gap of yoisim yud amas Rav Meir, more than 10 amas according to Rav Meir, which would be considered a pirta, or it shouldn't surpass 13 and 30 according to Rav Yehuda, which according to him, that's the shear of a Pesach. So you can go ahead and place them at a distance of the bear, but provided that you're mindful to keep the gaps between these boards within the parameter of a shear Pesach. That's the shear of Tanakam. Continues the Mishnah. Rav Yehuda, no, you have a maximum. Ad beis asayim, there's a tusa limit. Because according to him, this is considered to be like a non-residential enclosure, in which case we spoke earlier, there's a maximum of beis asayim, which is allowed to be enclosed and to carry within it. Amar lo, the Chacham responded, that doesn't apply in this case. Well, the Amar beis asayim, Ela legina, that only applies to a garden, or carpet, a storage area, avilim hayadir. But if he was enclosing a deer as a temporary corral used to fertilize the fields, a sar, a permanent pen, a muktzah, or a backyard, a chatzah, a front yard, which are residential areas, despite its size, it's fine. Aval, afilu beis chamesh is kurin, even if it's 5 kur in size. So a place where you can plant 5 kur, which is actually 75 times tusa. Afilu beis asar kurin, even if it encompasses a very great area of 10 kur, mutter, it's okay. Indeed, they conclude you can go ahead and place them at a very, very significant distance from the bear. Provided he adds boards according to the need, as you mentioned earlier. Take a look on Rashi 11, lines from the top. Beginning with the words v'chatzer. So, chatzer shel fnei batim, all these can be constructed even if they're very large in size. The cholahani, all these mentioned that came from the diru, they're considered to be residential, residentially contained areas. Vahani pasi brois nami, these posts around the bear as well. Hayu mimayin ruui lishdias adam, since the water there is suitable for human consumption. Tashmish dira ma'al yisu, it's considered to be a proper residential area. It's intended for personal use, and therefore this contained area can be as large as one's heart desires. So in summary, we learned about the din of oisin pasin lebarois. So in between these posts, you can leave a space which has a share Pesach, which according to Rav Meir is 10 amis. According to Rav Yehuda, even further, 13 amis and a third. You can place them very close to the bear, provided there's enough space for the animal. You can place them at a distance from the bear. According to Rav Yehuda, if you have maximum space of beis asayim, according to Rabbanon, even if it's much further away. Okay, time for a brief review of today's daf. We began with a discussion of mechitzos geruos, inferior partitions. It either has only shesi going up or erev going across, in which case it doesn't have that residential element to it. They're temporary, fleeting in nature. So if an individual on his own is using these mechitzos, he only has a limit of tusa. But if it's a group, 3 people, traveling as a caravan, then we allow them kedei tzorchan as much as they need. Now what if they began with a group of 3 at the onset of Shabbos and then one of them disappeared? Or in the reverse, they began with 2 and another fellow came along. Kunder Huna, it's the onset, the commencement of Shabbos that determines halacha throughout the entire Shabbos. Kunder Yitzchak, we look at the present moment, at the state of the diurin. How many people are present? If it's 3, then it's okay. If it's 2, then they cannot carry in this very large area. The Gemara told us about another machlokes regarding a chartzer shenifratz, or a bias that was breached and lost its mechitza. According to Rabbi Yehuda, they can continue using this area throughout this entire Shabbos. According to Rabbi Yosi, since the mechitzas are gone, it's awesome. We learned about a machne, Jewish soldiers involved in war, Mechemes HaRashus. There are many exceptions for them. Many heterim, they can bring firewood from wherever they find. They can be choyne b'chamakim, establish their camp wherever they need. The kvura is exactly where they were felled, even if they're not considered a meis mitzvah. They are pata from going to search for water to wash their hands prior to a meal. They are mutati tamai, they are pata from erev chatzeres, who included the halacha oisin pasin barois, which was intended specifically for the oiler regalim, to supply them with water for their animals, so one can go ahead and construct these boards surrounding the bear to make a rishus hayachid in between these boards to allow drawing from that well, which is a rishus hayachid, to the area beside it, which is also considered to be a rishus hayachid.